wish I had about 25 people that would just lift their hands and shout and let somebody know it's the best thing that could ever happen to you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. I feel good in the Holy Ghost. I feel like today's going to be a good day. Amen. We're going to, if it's all right with you, and if it ain't, I'm going to do it anyway. We're just going to kick the devil in the mouth today. I'll tell you what, I love giving God praise, but I love doing it in places where it just makes the devil mad. Thought he'd done everything he could to stop you today, but you just came to the house of God anyway. And since you're here, you might as well make him mad. Amen. Bishop, I love you. Give you honor today. What a man. What a family. What a church. What a God. Amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogues answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered them and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Bible says one more time in verse 12, Jesus saw her. We'll get into some of this, but I want you to take note that most of the time when someone gets a miracle, it's because they approach Jesus. But Jesus approaches her. He called her to him and said, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. I want to just simply preach today, thou art loosed. Thou art loosed. Loosed. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands to heaven, asking the Lord to move in this place? Lord, we need you. We want you. God, we've got to have you more today than ever before. We need your glory. We need your power. We need your spirit, your anointing. Come on, somebody lift your voice with me right now and talk to the Lord. God, we believe in you, Lord, for the miraculous to fall in this house. Come on, would you just lift your voice as loud as you can in prayer and praise to the Lord? Make your petition known to him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. One more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with a voice of triumph and with a voice of praise. Oh, I think we can do a little bit better than that. Why don't you just shout unto God with a voice of triumph? Why don't you shout like you got victory? Shout like you've been delivered. Shout like God has made a way out of no way. Woo! Come on, somebody praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to get loose today. Amen. You can be seated in the fear of the Lord. Here we find Jesus doing what he does best. Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath. In the synagogue, Jesus has taught about the barren fig tree and has somewhat taught about the importance of repentance. He speaks with authority. He speaks with truth. He speaks with power and all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Jesus has been placed time and time again throughout his earthly ministry between the law of Moses and the law of grace. The law was a hiding place for the super spiritual to try to hide behind because they felt that they were justified by obeying the law. And you will never find Jesus saying that the law is wrong, but rather the Bible tells us that he opens up their understanding of the law, and they understand that Jesus is understood that
the law was two parts. The first was law, and the second was grace. And Jesus took the law and added grace so that it could convict you. Jesus agreed with the law because he was God manifest in the flesh. He wrote the law. But he understood that it was a two-part plan. The first part of the law was to justify, but the second part, the part of grace, was to sanctify. The law was to tell me when I'm wrong, but grace was to pick me up when I fall. And so we understand that this man, Jesus, who is grace incarnate, the part of the law where he no doubtably had the revelation when he said, I came not to condemn the law, but to fulfill the law. I've came to add the second part to this thing. I've came to show you that there's more than just coming to church and following a set of rules, but there is a relationship that you can have. There is a covenant that you can have with me. I'm here to tell you today, if you've been looking at church as just a list of rules and regulations, you don't really know who Jesus is, because it's not rules and regulations. It's not that you can't do this and you can't do that. I'm telling you what it is today. It's you get to do this and you get to do that. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if you're just looking at the law, if you're looking at the church from the eyes of the law, and all you can see is, well, I can't go here and I can't go there, you need to get a relationship with God, because I'm going to tell you, there's so much joy in this that once you get a hold of Jesus, it'll make you not want to go to those places anymore, and it'll make you not want to do those things anymore. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you. Jesus, I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen. It's better than any amount of money. He's better than any drug. He's better than any relationship. You need Jesus. On this Sunday morning, I'm going to tell you, came to church saying, I need something, but I don't know what it is. Let me tell you, you need Jesus. You need the Holy Ghost. You need God living on the inside.
How else, my Lord, I feel like preaching right here for a minute. How else are you going to find peace in a chaotic world? How else are you going to find joy in a world that tells you there's nothing to be happy about? How else are you going to find a place that you, a safe haven where you can raise your family and bring your children up in a God-fearing manner? Where else are you going to find that you can come together with people that are of a different color and of a different creed, but still be their brother and their sister? Where else can you? I'm going to tell you where it's at. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. It's in him that we're able to do what we do. We're here today because of him. We're in our right mind because of him. It's because of the power of Jesus Christ. And I know what you're thinking right now, preacher, you should move on to something. I'm going to tell you something. If you can't get excited about preaching about Jesus, then you need to get your spirit checked. Because if it wasn't for him, if it was not for him, if it was not for Jesus, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be in your right mind. You wouldn't be anywhere if it had not been for Jesus. Hallelujah. And so again we have Jesus, and again we have man withstanding him with their ideology of the law. And Jesus, as he is teaching, he notices a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. The Bible doesn't say that she was possessed, but rather that she had a spirit. Many theologians would say that this spirit of infirmity was riding her like a child would ride on the back of their parent. It weighed her down. It attached itself to her body to the point where she was physically bowed over. Her muscles had been mangled into knots, causing her to draw up
The weight of the oppression of the spirit had cost her ability to stand. 18 years she had suffered from the spirit of oppression. We don't know anything about her. We don't know her background. She just appears and disappears from the scene. The one thing that we do know is that this woman is in trouble. This woman is in pain. This woman is at her last resort. She has nowhere else to go. She has no one else to talk to. And so she comes and finds Jesus. And the sad thing about the story is that man's view of the law said to leave her like she is. Because she looked like this, it is most probable they believe that it was because she was rebellious to God. And I don't have time to get into all the stuff of what they believed, how sin affected people or their mother or their father and all of that. But just let me walk through this today and take my word for it. Go study it yourself. It man's view of the law said she's done something wrong. Let's just leave her like this. Man's view of the law says she's done too much and there is no way that we could ever pick her up and bring her up out of the state. The law said that she was to remain in this sick and twisted position because it was judgment. But then a man named Jesus, again, who was the embodiment of grace, takes notice of her. A man named Jesus takes notice of her mangled body and her crippled soul. And in the midst of preaching and teaching, something stands out in him and about her, and he calls her to his side. No doubt in my mind, that voice of infirmity said that Jesus doesn't care. My Lord, I feel like telling somebody today, maybe guilt had set in, and maybe because she had sin and condemnation of the law set in, and it told her that Jesus really didn't care, and maybe it even told her that Jesus was going to make fun of her like every other man that stood up in the synagogue has made fun of her. It told her don't disturb his teaching, and she might have for a time listened to the voice, but something in her refused to leave the crowd when Jesus took notice. Can I tell somebody today that the enemy has done the same thing to you here? He has pressed you until spiritually you've been bowed over and you cannot stand. And you come to church and you feel as if maybe Jesus is going to do you like every other religious church has done. And if you've heard me preach more than one time, you'll understand that I don't believe in religion. Religion don't fix anything. Religion is not going to put you back together again. Religion will look down its nose at you and say, well, maybe you should just stay the way you are because you're an addict or you're this or you're that. But can I tell you that God manifest in the flesh looked past what had happened to her and took notice of her situation and called her to him. You want to know why you're here today? It's because religion looked past you and God said, I want to take you to a church where it's not about religion, it's about experience. It's not about shaking the preacher's hand, and it's not about signing a church card, but it's about an experience that you can have personally with Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm reaching for somebody today that walked in those double doors and you feel as if it's over. You might as well throw in the towel. But can I tell you that God is taking notice of your situation and he is calling you to him. You might think you're mixing in with the crowd and you might think nobody's taking notice of the fact that you're here. But can I tell you, friend, Jesus took notice when you walked in today. Jesus paid attention when you came to church. You might just be blending in with the crowd, but honey, he sees what's going on in your broken and mangled spirit, and he's calling you to him. Jesus is telling somebody today, I'm calling you out. I know we live in a culture that says, don't make me get out and don't call me out. Don't bring me out in front of everybody. And I'm not here to do that today. I'm not going to call you out in front of the whole church, but I'm going to tell you what's happening right now in the spirit realm. Jesus is calling you out. You see, again, I want to reiterate the fact that Jesus, so many times when he works a miracle, like with blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. With Jairus' daughter, Jairus goes to Jesus. And we can go on down the line of the 10 lepers and all the many miracles that Jesus did. And we could talk about how powerful it is when somebody gets into the press like the little woman. But I'm telling you, there's something that happens powerful when Jesus takes notice. All of those miracles are powerful in their own right. It's awesome that somebody could press in and get his attention. But I'm going to tell you something. There was something inside this young lady's heart, inside of her spirit, that screamed louder than blind Bartimaeus when the crowd told him to be quiet. It was louder than the 10 lepers when they said, Jesus, have mercy. There was something inside of this lady that was louder than anybody else in the crowd as they were sitting and Jesus was teaching them. And I've come to tell you today that cry that's been coming out of your spirit, nobody knew it was there. You laid awake at night and cried, and even your partner didn't understand what was going on. The anguish of spirit, the oppression that had you bound, the depression that had you bound because of what was going on in your mind and in your world. But can I tell you this morning that Jesus is taking notice? Man might walk right by you, but Jesus said, no, honey, not today. I'm going to take notice of what you're going through, and I'm calling you out. I'm telling somebody today that he's calling you out, and he's setting you loose. He's calling you out, and he wants to set you free from every stitch of bondage that's been holding you back. He wants to set you free from the addiction. Jesus wants to set you free from the bondage of depression. Jesus wants to set you free from the bondage of marital struggle. Jesus wants to set you free from the bondage. Maybe you put yourself there, but regardless, I hear the voice of the Lord calling somebody out and saying, thou art loose. Woo! I don't care how long you've been like you are. The voice of the Lord is speaking today. You can be loose from that. I don't care. I don't care what got you here. It might not even be your fault. You might be in the shape that you're in because somebody left you. Somebody walked away, and now you're bitter and you're angry and your spirit's mangled up in a ball. But I hear the voice of the Lord saying, thou art loose. You can be set free from this thing that's holding you back. You can be set free from the anguish. You can be set free from God, I'm telling somebody today, I'm preaching with a burden to tell you, you don't have to leave the same way you came, because who the Son is set free is free indeed. It's free indeed. You're free indeed. Forget about all the reasons why you are the way you are. Jesus is calling you out and loosing you. It don't matter how you got where you are. What matters is that you got to get up from where you are, because Jesus is calling you out. It don't matter why you're where you're at right now. What matters is what you do from this point forward. Because I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, if you release it and let God have his way, you can leave here changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You can leave here changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Some of you have been waiting on the right song, waiting on all of the stars to align. You don't have to wait on all that. Jesus said, I'm calling you out. I've been coming to church for 6 weeks just waiting for my service. Let me tell you something, honey. Every service is your service. I'm going to say it again. Every service is your service. If you need a healing, it's your service. If you need a breakthrough, it's your service. If you need deliverance, it's your. You don't have to wait till Sunday night to shout about it. You don't have to wait till Wednesday night Bible study to come and get a word. I'm telling you right now, if you want it, you can have it, because God said, I'm calling you out and I'm setting you free. Thou art loosed. And the Bible says that when he laid hands on her, immediately she was healed. And people have the gall to try to protest him and say, you're doing work on the Sabbath day. And why couldn't you have done this on any other day? For crying out loud, this is the Sabbath. But Jesus, understand who Jesus is. Jesus is not some little God that the big God sent down. Jesus is not some little deal, some miniature God that he said, now, son, you go down there and you do all this. No, he robed himself in flesh. The flesh, God became flesh. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You get on a little bit down farther, and you'll find that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That God, that Jesus, understand who he is. He's not getting his marching orders from up there. He's giving the marching orders. Say, well, that goes against what I was taught as a child. I'm sorry, honey, but you was taught wrong. And if you don't believe me, come set us up with a Bible study and we'll show you how Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't know how any much plainer you want it. And when you get that revelation that he is God and God all by himself, it's a little bit easier to understand what Jesus was doing when they said, on the Sabbath? Lord, don't you know that it's Sunday? And you could do all this any other day of the week. I've got a knack for finding the smart aleck statements of Jesus. Jesus had a little bit of a smart aleck side to him. That's how I know I'm created in his image. If you're under 18, you're not allowed to say that. But Jesus looks at them and he says, don't you, and I'm paraphrasing this, but don't you recognize who you're talking to? You know, Jesus was trying to get them to understand, I made the Sabbath. And so if I want a miracle, want to work a miracle on the day, that's fine, because I made today. Recognize who you're talking to. This is not just some carpenter's son, but this is the God of all eternity. And I created this moment for this purpose. I created the Sabbath as a day for somebody to recognize that there is a God in heaven. And what the point of the rest was in Genesis, it was not to sit around and just close your eyes, but it was to sit back and admire all of the wonderful things that he had done. That was the rest. And when he said, and I'll give you the rest which causes the weary to rest. When you get the Holy Ghost, that's what the purpose of the rest is. It's to sit back and take in all the powerful things that God Almighty has done. That's what today was for way back in the beginning. It wasn't for you to lay back on your lazy boy and eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola. No, honey, it was for you to sit back and say, I've seen all the things that God has done in my life, and it keeps getting greater, and he keeps showing himself more real, and he keeps showing himself more powerful. There is a God in heaven. You call that work, honey? I just call that grace. You said that was something, that was nothing to me, because I'm a miracle worker.
I'm going to cut to y'all. Well, I
you keep trying to figure out how God's going to do it. It's easy for him. What's hard for you is easy for God. You know that? He said, you know, you call all this work. That's not work. That's just grace at work. That's why I'm here, was to save and seek out those which are lost. That's why I'm here, so that your broken life can be put back together. That's the whole purpose of what Jesus was saying right here. He said, this is why I am here. This is why I came and walked among you for this moment. And can I tell you that this is why you were created, was for this moment where you made destiny at an altar of repentance, and everything begins to change, and God sets you free from whatever it is that's been holding you back. Thou art loosed. Can I take you to John? I'm hurrying. John chapter 11. Let's go to verse 41. John 11 and 41. Understand the background here is Lazarus has got sick and died. Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, has passed away. They sent word for him. Now that he's got here, somebody said, Lord, if you'd have been here, it wouldn't be like this. If you'd have got here when you, God, if you'd have done your job, Jesus, if you'd have showed up when you was supposed to, in McNary County we say post to. If you'd have showed up when you post to, everything would be fine. But you dropped the ball on this one, Jesus. Mary and Martha are looking, and he just says, show me the tomb. And the Bible tells us that they took him to the tomb, and he told them to roll away the stone. And then the Bible says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Go ahead. Let's go through this. Verse 42. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. See, he's calling you out. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound. You see, it's not enough to just get called out of the grave, because you can come out of the grave and still be wearing grave clothes. You can come out of the world and still be wearing all the things that, and you should be able to shout like everybody else, but the truth of the matter is because of where you've been, you're bound hand and foot. Because the Bible says that he was bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. You know what that was? That was the one moment. Now, you can preach this, you can think this, you can have your own theology, but I've been reading forever trying to figure this out, and I ain't quite got a place yet where I found where Jesus was talking to his disciples here. Could it be, now this is just hypothetical, that Jesus, when he said, loose him and let him go, he was speaking direct. Now understand, he didn't call him out of the grave. Could it be that he was speaking to the grave clothes that had been holding him back from being what he should be? Could it be that he was speaking to the things that had been stopping him from getting from point A to point B? Lazarus comes hopping out of the tomb, stumbling down the step, just about to kill himself all over again, because he's wearing what my he's wearing where he's been from. Can I tell somebody today, even though you got dressed up and you got on a nice dress and your hair's done just right and you might have even put on a suit and tie, but the truth of the matter is when Jesus looks at you, he can still see the grave clothes that you've been wearing around because of what you've been through and all of the stench of the junk that you've had to live through and all the hell that you've had to walk through. But can I tell you on this Sunday morning that there is a voice from God that's speaking to the grave clothes, and it's saying, loose them and let them go. Lazarus, I have a purpose for you. I've called you out of the tomb, but now I'm calling. Now I'm calling for the grave clothes to fall off. I'm telling somebody today, you need to shake that junk off because you've been loosed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for psychologists and AA meetings, but let me tell you something.
something nobody can take off the grave clothes like Jesus can. Nobody can take off the chains like Jesus can. Nobody can set you free like Jesus can.
Can I preach about 60 more seconds? Stand with me if you will. I'm almost done. I don't really get why y'all do all that jumping and shouting and running and dancing and talking in tongues. I'll tell you why. Because we haven't found religion. We found an experience. I don't really get all that. I'm going to show you really quickly. Because there's some people that's been, how many been set free? Now, if you're here today and you're wondering what is all of that about, I'm going to show you in just about 15 seconds. Watch this. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. You want to know what all that's about? You're looking at about 300 people that used to be wearing some grave clothes that were bound and mangled in knots. But they met Jesus. And when they met Jesus, everything began. I'm telling you, you can be loosed in this house today. You can be loosed right here, right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost.
I
think it's interesting that in Acts, the day of Pentecost had came. They had all begun to speak with other tongues, Brother Antoine. And you roll out of chapter 2 into chapter 3, and they're still singing, and they're still shouting, because the Holy Ghost has fallen. We understand that the Bible tells us in Acts 2 that they did many wonders. The apostles did many wonders. But the first miracle that's listed in detail after the day of Pentecost is when there are a couple disciples that are walking down the road, and they walk up to a gate that's called Beautiful, and they see a lame man. Oh, help me, Jesus. Circumstance had put him flat on his back. Circumstances said, this is how you'll be for the rest of your life. You were born a beggar and you'll die a beggar. You were born a lame man and you'll die a lame man. But there was somebody that looked on him, and when he said, do you have any money? They looked and said, silver and gold have I none. But let me tell you what I do have. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up, rise up, rise. God's calling you up out of that junk you're in. You've been laying flat on your back, lame and immobile. But I'm telling you, Jesus is giving you an opportunity. Silver and gold have I none. But I tell you what I got. I got the Holy Ghost. I said I got the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, you can get it. If you don't have it, let me just tell you about it. It'll help you stand up when the world says lay down. It'll help you have joy when the world says no. I'm telling you, there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You want to look at somebody and say, such as I have. Look at somebody else and say, such as I have. Oh, help me, Jesus. No. Shake them a little bit and say, such as I have. Such as I have. You know what he told me? He said these things. Now understand what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to the woman that and said, thou art loosed, and she was loosed, right? I'm in the book. But you know what my Bible also tells me? He said, greater things than these shall ye do.
No, that lets me know that God gave me the power to look at somebody on a Sunday morning and say, thou art loose. By what authority? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I tell you what authority it is. It's the authority that's in the name of Jesus. It's the authority that's in the power of the Holy Ghost. You can be made free by the power of Jesus Christ.
I'm going to tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost right now, you ought to look at somebody. If you don't have Jesus living on the inside, if you've never spoken in other tongues, you ought to find some radical Pentecostal by you and say, would you pray with me for a moment? And I'm telling you that God can loose you from what you've been bound by. God can set you free on a Sunday morning. Come on, I wish you'd just reach over and link up with your neighbor right now and just pray in the Holy Ghost.
What he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. This, 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 this.
All night.
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 He is worthy of the glory.
All night.
All night.
All night.
When I think about Jesus.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me.
Come on, that's it. Plug in. Plug in. Grab your neighbor by the hand and just pray. Let's make one big prayer chain right now. You ought to grab your neighbor and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
All night, all night,
all night,
all night.
But if you're a visitor here today, we want to introduce you to the family. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. But if you're an evangelist, you ought to be laying hands on somebody right now. Come on. Come on, pray for somebody in the Holy Ghost.
You're worthy. Yes, you're worthy. Of all the praise.
took glory.